Welcome to The Last Trump, a radio show on end times prophecy. We encourage you to get your Bibles out and go to the scriptures with us as we look at the biblical truths found within the Bible that are pointing us to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And now, live from the Revolution Studios on Grand Island, New York, here's your host, Mike Chory.
Welcome tonight to The Last Trump, a study on Bible prophecy, and we are delighted to have you a part of this broadcast. 2 hours Christian radio tonight, two messages that we're going to be dealing with on the 9:30 message, the book of Revelation chapter 11, if you have your Bibles tonight. And also coming up later at 9:30 on Crossside Radio, we're going to pick it up on the message of the cross. We've got so much to get into tonight. Here in studio, we've got a very special guest. I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. But of course, my co-host and very popular co-host from Central Pennsylvania, Captain Space out there. Kirk, good to have you tonight.
Well, praise the Lord, brother. It's good to be here another weekend of Last Trump. It's our favorite subject, our favorite time of week, and less than a week now coming down to the conference here. Thursdays, day one. Getting excited.
Well, we do. The Jesus End Times Tour is coming to Grand Island, New York, starting Thursday night, and it's going to start out with an amazing worship night. The Browder family from East Tennessee going to be singing gospel music like you are. You're going to tap your feet. You're going to want to sing, raise your hands. You're going to worship to the Lord, and then we're going to kick it off. This End Times message, and let me just say this. It is a very, very important time, the most important time that we have ever been alive. And if you have ever gone to an event that would change your life, I think this is the one. And I say that because we are going to be sharing with you for 4 days what the Bible says of what is on the horizon, what is coming very soon. And the theme of the conference is on the third day. And this is the theme taken from Hosea 6:2, that prophet of the Old Testament, who said, after 2 days, the Lord said through Hosea the prophet, after 2 days, I will revive you. And on the third day, I will raise you up. Kirk, that is a promise to the nation of Israel that God is going to keep.
Yeah, amen, brother. And, you know, as we were going through proofing the notebook, you know, we put all these notes together. So everybody who comes to the conference is getting a free notebook with every session that every one of us is doing. And as we're going, you know, we've been talking about the stuff in the notebook for, you know, at least a year, you know, so it's kind of just fresh in our minds. But as we're going through proofing these this week, it really hit me, like, there's a lot of material in these notes that a lot of people don't know and they need to hear. So it's crucial, it's paramount to your walk that you have the revelation of end times. You know, as we say it all the time here on air, that it's a trifecta of revelation that comes when you're saved, you know, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Glorification being the soon coming of the Lord where we get our glorified bodies. So, folks, this conference, if you have the time, please, even if you don't have the time, cancel whatever else you got going on and come down.
Well, you know, Israel is the greatest prophetic end time sign there is, and they are back in the land. They have control of Jerusalem, but there's one thing they don't have. They don't have the temple. Right. And tonight here on The Last Trump, we're in Revelation chapter 11. We're going to look at some scriptures that tell us there is going to be a temple that is going to be built, the third temple. Of course, the first one being Solomon's, and then Zerubbabel, and then the third one that's coming, which the Antichrist will take over 42 months into the Great Tribulation. That's going to be our theme tonight. But Kirk, I want to tell everyone that these 4 days, August 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, that's Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, all Friday, all Saturday, we're going to be in session. And then Sunday morning and Sunday night, of course, and we're inviting everyone to come, and obviously on Sunday morning, we want you to go to your own local church, but if you're from out of town or you don't have a church, come Sunday morning as well. And the speakers for this conference are going to be Kirk and myself, obviously, but also from It Is Finished Ministries, Doreen Burrett. And then from all the way from Uganda, Africa, Pastor Paul Musisi, who is in studio tonight, just got off the plane last night. Pastor Paul, welcome to The Last Trump.
Thank you very much. I've been looking forward for this. The Lord is good, and I know it's going to blow us.
It's going to be the most life-changing time. Now, I want everyone to know I was at your church last December. Oh. We took a team of six people. Sister Doreen was with me, Steve and Carolyn Drew, and we had the most amazing time. And your ministry, tell everyone a little bit about your ministry in Uganda.
Thank you so much. My pastor, I call you my pastor. You're very inspirational to, you are the apostle to the nations. Greetings from the pastors all from Kenya, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, Sudan, South Sudan, DRC, Congo, wow. Uganda. This time we also have Zambia and Zimbabwe.
Wow.
It was really very inspirational for you to come and, you know, teaching the word. You know, we call it back to the Bible truth. And we thank you. We can't wait. You come again. Caring Heart Breakthrough Ministries is Pentecostal church. We plant churches. We plant churches. We have planted over 100 churches in remote areas. We go where people don't go, where people fear to go, where they are influence of demonic. Where you went, where you came. You remember that place was at one time there were no people there. There were only ghost snakes and all that. People feared to step on that hill. They said we'll never build anything small like a grass-thatched house, but today it's the city of God, and it houses many orphans and widows, and as you saw. But it's also a center for transformation in the lives of pastors, ministries, and in Eastern Central Africa. By grace, we can only do this by grace and by the move of the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And we have over 1,200 orphans. We stopped counting. There are more than that, but I stopped counting. And we're taking care of over 300 widows
in
the nation. You know, I, for one, have never seen my mother. I grew up on the street. That's where Jesus found me, through a little boy, evangelism. This little boy won over. I don't even know my birthday. I don't know when I was born. Only the pastor who's still alive today tells me that he saw me when I first came to church. Maybe I was 7 or 8 years of age. So our ministry is really vast in planting churches and also bring back the Bible truth and also telling the people about the power of the cross.
Right.
Yes. That's where
that's where it all begins. Yes. That's where everything comes from.
You cannot just speak about that once.
No.
Once a year on
yeah, on East. Unfortunately, yes. Some pastors, that's all they do.
Yes, yes.
But we know the message of the cross for every day.
The message of the cross is for us too. It's a transformational message. And ever since I met, I call him God's general evangelist, Swagat, you know.
Yes.
And my life never remained the same. When I met him, talked with him,
right,
and his wife.
So, yes, you were down at camp meeting in Baton Rouge and met Brother Swaggart.
Yes, yes.
And, of course, he's gone home to be with the Lord, but he has taught us so much about the Word of God and the message of the cross.
Yes.
I want everyone to know, Pastor Paul,
yes.
You said it, and you said it humbly, and I got to tell you, when I first heard it, that you have 1,200 orphans in your ministry.
Yes.
It's not that I didn't believe you, but it was hard to get my arms around that statement.
Yes.
But when I went to your church last December, and saw all those children, yes. those orphans, and you gave me, your wife Olivia,
yes.
I'm going to get a little emotional here, but gave me the opportunity along with our team
yes.
to feed those children. I don't have words to describe to the people how that felt to be able to scoop out of a huge bowl their lunch and put it in their bowl and to see their faces and to know that these were all orphans that you took in.
Yes. Only by God's grace we can do that. And many people ask me, why do you have so many orphans and widows that you cannot take care of? And I say, thank you very much. You have just said it. When I cannot take care of them, when I cannot manage, then the Lord comes in. And every other day we see God miraculously feeding those kids, healing them. You can have 100, 200, each of these child having different kind of needs yeah. every day on a right. daily basis.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. If they get sick, they can. 100 can get sick of malaria, another one diarrhea, another one this cough and all that. What do you do? But trust God. And, you know, at times they don't have food, but they always have the food, the bread of life. And that is the word of God. And they praise and worship and trust God. I give them my, tell them my testimony and they cry and they say,
wow.
If God did it for you, He's doing it for us. We can see it. These kids are born again and they love God and they will never forget your love with the team. My big brother from another mother, Steve, and his wife and
yes.
Doreen, when you came and served them, you are so gracious to them. They will never forget that.
Well, we will never forget it. And we're going back this, by the grace of God, Lord willing, if we are still here, we are going to Uganda, Africa, the last week of November and early December. And these orphans that you take care of, who better to take care of them than one who was an orphan? And Pastor Musisi found the Lord at a young age, 7, 8 years old. He was on the street. And a pastor, a church took him in.
And, you know, many times on the street, I wanted to commit suicide, even at that tender age. I said, why should I live? I better die than to live because life was horrible. Life was not a gift for me. The devil had twisted it. I don't know what happened to my mom. I don't know what happened to my dad. I don't know what happened. I don't have a story. I just found myself on the street, you know, because on the street, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of kids with different stories. And on the street, they are babies, too. They are left there, you know. They're also big girls, teenagers. They're also old people there. So it's a mixture of groups of hopelessness. People there. And I said, why should I leave? We used to eat from the garbage cans. But also in the garbage cans, there was no food. So life was really very hard, you know. Even somebody, I called my dad at one time, and I don't want to say about that because that he died. He died. Mm. But he cast me out of his home when I was, he said he would cut me into two pieces and all that. Because at one time when I was at school, the class teacher taught us to talk something good about our mothers, and I didn't have an experience. So I went back and asked this man, gentleman, he didn't like it. If he was my father, maybe he killed my mom, or maybe he just found me on the street. Nobody knows.
You don't know.
I don't know.
Wow.
Right.
I don't know. And, you know, this little boy comes to cut the story short, I try, because it's a long story. Yeah. Finds me on the street and said, let's go to church. I said, to church? Of all places, I'm hungry. Even when I was a little boy, I didn't know anything about church. I was already lost. Even little kids can be lost.
Right.
If no one reaches out to them. So that's why the Bible says, how will they know? So it's very important as you prepare to go to church to pick out somebody in your neighborhood, somebody you find on the street. Please tell him about coming to church. Tell him about, because I wouldn't be here today if this little boy didn't tell me that let's go to church, even when I didn't know, even when I didn't like it. But finally he told me, oh, we're going to have a free glass of milk. So I went to church for the first time to have a glass of milk.
Because you were hungry.
I was very hungry because we used to look for food in the garbage cans. But even the garbage cans, there was no food. So I remember one night I was crying so much. And I said, I wish my mother was here. I wouldn't be suffering as I'm suffering. There was no care. No, no. But it was survival for the fittest. We used to see kids, two kids were like killed on the street, murdered, you know, because they tried to steal from a woman. So nobody loved a street child. Only Jesus can love everyone in his situations and all that.
Amen.
So I followed the boy. Like, I mean, I was sweating, barefooted, almost halfway naked. My hair had grown, my nails had grown, but I went to church to have a cup of milk. So I reached to church for the first time. Nobody loved me. Nobody was interested in me. So they didn't even allow me to sit in the chairs. So I sat down because they thought maybe these were ushers, or I don't know. they thought I was a psychiatric. I was not adding up properly. They thought I had come maybe to church to steal or to do what. Nobody was interested because people cannot see from far. It's only God who sees beyond us. So they made me sit there. I didn't even get the milk I wanted. I looked for the boy who took me to church. I've not seen him up to this day. But I received something greater, something very, 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 very important to my, that turned around my life, my misery. The past, maybe pastor, or I don't know, he stood up and I had words that I never had before. The pastor said, if he was a pastor, he said, God is a father to the fatherless. If you don't have a father, God can be your father and he can take care of you. I began to imagine, did this boy go tell that man about me, that he found me on the street? I don't have, what? I don't know. Then he continued to say, Jesus can take care of you if you give him your life. I didn't know. I thought Jesus was like you, Pastor Mike. nobody was talking to me. I was just there alone now. And said, if you give him your life, he will take care of you. So I didn't know what I was doing. At the age of 7 or 8, I gave my life to Christ. I repeated a sinner's prayer. Church service was over. And everybody started going back home. I looked around. I said, oh, this man at the pulpit said there are two people. One is Jesus, another one is God. So if I give them my life by repeating a sinner's prayer, they'll take care of me. I've done that, so let me wait for them.
You thought they were literal people.
Yes, like you.
Right.
Yes, maybe I thought
that's all you knew.
Yeah, I didn't know anything. So I waited. When I was waiting, I think there were security people guarding. Said, hey, you psychiatric mad boy, go back to where you came from. They thought I was a thief, maybe. But I wasn't. I was looking for love.
Right.
And it's only Jesus who can give you real love.
Yes.
Don't get disappointed in church when people have their own challenges. Mm-hmm. Yes. They're also looking for help in any other way. So I said, no, I will not go back to the street. I'll stay here until I see two people, God and Jesus. And I'll tell them, here I am, I gave you my life, so take care of me. So I forgot about the misery, I forgot about the milk, I forgot about everything. Now my focus was to see Jesus and God. I slept there at the church veranda for 2 years. So they would open the church door. I would be the second to enter. So I started cleaning the church, cleaning the compound. And I would hear people say, "Oh, this boy came when he was psychiatric. The Lord is working in him." Mm. I wasn't psychiatric.
Right.
I was just...
You were hungry.
Hungry. And yeah. I didn't have anybody to take care of me. To cut the story short, maybe I'll talk about it tomorrow. You want to hear more? Come tomorrow. It's a long story.
So you grew up living in the church?
Yes, yes. And they took me from the church to go and work for the pastors. Pastors were staying in one compound. So I worked for all the pastors. I would fetch water, you know. You walk like 2 miles to go look for water.
Yeah.
You carry the water in the bucket. It was hard time.
Right.
But it was, I learned how to pray, how to minister as a little boy. We did evangelism. We went I carried the speaker on my head. And even when we reached at the place where they are preaching the gospel, I'll be the stand.
Wow.
So the speaker would be on my head.
You would do whatever was needed.
Whatever was needed.
We're talking to Paul Musisi. Yes. He's the pastor of Caring Hearts.
Yes.
What's the full name?
Caring Heart Breakthrough Ministries.
Caring Hearts Breakthrough Ministries in Uganda, Africa.
Yes.
He holds a conference called the Great Lakes Conference.
Gathering of the Nations.
Gathering of the Nations, yes. 10 different nations,
yes,
from the continent of Africa.
Yes.
Maybe two more this year to,
yes,
make 12.
Yes.
We're going to be back there. We were there last year. 1,200 orphans, 300 widows that help take care of the orphans, right?
Yes.
The widows help.
Yes, yes.
And Pastor Paul is, him and his wife Olivia run that whole ministry. And I got to tell you, firsthand from seeing it, it is the most amazing ministry you've ever laid your eyes on. And tonight, he's our keynote speaker here, or our guest speaker, I should say, for The Last Trump and Cross-Eyed. But he is going to be a keynote speaker for the Jesus End Times Tour, which begins Thursday night here at Cross River Tabernacle. We're located at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard. It's going to start Thursday night. The Browder family from East Tennessee is going to kick things off with a tremendous worship. And we're going to be preaching that night. Friday, all day Friday, there are teachings on End Times, 10 a.m. it starts to 12 noon. There's a lunch break here. Lunch is being offered the afternoon, 2 o'clock. We're going to be back here doing more on Bible prophecy. The first one Friday is going to be on the 8 prophetic feast of the Lord, Daniel's 70th week. Israel, the greatest end time sign, the nation of Israel. We're going to be studying all of this in the Word of God. Bring your Bibles. We will give you a conference notebook, over 100 pages. And then Friday night at 7 o'clock, the Revolution, Joshua Revolution worship team will be here. And Pastor Paul, you're going to be preaching that night here at Cross River Tabernacle. And then, Kirk, tell everyone Saturday morning at 10 a.m., you've got a special two-hour teaching. Tell us what you're going to be teaching on.
Yeah, it's a very, very informative. It's in-depth. It's an in-depth study on Roman Catholicism. The title is A Jesuit Empire, The History of Roman Catholicism. And we're really going to tie in all of the history of the Bible, the King James Bible. And really my goal here is to show everybody how corrupt and evil the Roman Catholic system is. And it is, in fact, the woman who rides the beast in Revelation chapter 17, which we're going to be getting to here in a couple of weeks through our study on Revelation. But it is eye-opening. It's jaw-dropping. Some of the things that I've learned and the Lord has revealed to me in putting this together, I mean, I don't even have words for it. So if you have Catholic friends or Catholic family, and you've been trying to wake them up for years and you just can't seem to find the angle, we encourage you to come out listen to this. It'll help you understand it better, understand how to approach those people in your family, and maybe let the Holy Spirit get a hold of their hearts and change them.
Yeah, and let me say this, you know, to Catholic people, we absolutely love the Catholic people. I was in the Catholic school system 4 years in high school, and so the Lord, you know, showed me where the truth was. It's not a Protestant church or a Catholic church. It's in the Word of God. That's Amen. Where you find the born-again message. And when Jesus walked the earth, there weren't Catholics and Baptists and Methodists. There weren't any of that. And when the Lord came, it was either Jews or Gentiles. And in the eyes of God, you're either a sheep or a goat. You're either a believer or you're not a believer. And so all these denominations and church titles and all of that, it's not found in the Word of God, friend. And Kirk, I'm looking forward to you laying out the history of it all and how people have gotten away from the Bible and mixed the truth, because there is truth in Catholicism, but it's mixed with errors, as is the Protestant church. But the Word of God is our guide. And if you don't have chapter and verse for something, you got to flush it, because one day you're going to have to answer to God for His Word, not from man's traditions. So Kirk's going to be breaking that down Saturday, 10 a.m., that is August the 9th. And then after the lunch break, we're going to be ministering on some amazing truths found in the Word of God of how close we are to the rapture of the church, the coming of the Lord. I'm going to be teaching, Sister Doreen's going to be teaching a session on Be Ready, how to have oil in your lamp, and it's going to be, I believe, very insightful. And then Saturday night, we've got a very special worship night. Joshua Aaron, all the way from Israel, is coming, and he's going to be singing in English, singing in Hebrew. You are going to be moved by the Spirit. It's the concert, I call it a concert, it's really a worship night. Thursday night with the Browders from East Tennessee and Saturday night with Joshua Aaron. Both of those are under the tent outside of our church. There's a chicken barbecue on Sunday. Pastor Paul Musisi is going to be preaching Sunday morning here. So he's preaching Friday night, 7 o'clock, and he's going to be preaching Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Listen, all of this schedule is online at joshuarevolution.org, and you can register for your free tickets. The whole event is completely free of charge. Come on out, be a part of the Jesus End Times Tour on the third day, sponsored by Joshua Revolution. Again, we are located at 2920 Grand Island Boulevard, and people are, they're getting ready. They're cutting the lawn. They're going to be putting the tent up in a couple days. We have a bookstore with Bibles and books, T-shirts. Joshua Aaron is bringing things. We're just going to have an old-fashioned, true blue, red-hot, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus-loving summer camp meeting, and you need to be here with your family. We have children's ministry on Thursday night, Friday night, and Sunday morning, so your children will get ministered as you are getting ministered. Kirk, anything else you want to say about this event? I'm excited.
Well, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, it's a midsummer camp meeting. We're a little earlier than what we did it last year, but it's gonna. And you know, the tent is being put up out back, and the tent holds a very special place in my heart, because the last time you guys put the tent up out back is the weekend I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then the following day, I got water baptized. So it's going to be really good to be back there, worshiping the Lord out under the tent with everybody there, the fellowship. You know, I got so many people coming from out of town. I mean, it's long overdue for me to get back up on Grand Island. I think the last time we were up there was February. So I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, I hope we see people from radio come out and tell us they're listeners and want to talk or anything, or just say hi, you know. You're all welcome.
We've got to see Canada. Come on down. We're right on the other side of the border. This is going to be an amazing 4 days. Trust me, friends. This is going to be something that is going to awaken the bride, get her ready for the soon coming of the Lord. Go to joshuarevolution.org tonight. Register for your tickets. The whole schedule is there.
He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. and he's riding a white horse across this land. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse all across this land, and he's calling out to you and me, will you ride?
It's the last Trump study on Bible prophecy, and we are excited. Coming up in just a few days, it's going to be an amazing time right here at the Cross River Tabernacle, the home of Joshua Revolution. Make your plans now. It's the Jesus End Times Tour coming to Grand Island, New York, and the theme is On the Third Day, and we want you to be there. We want your family to be there. Kirk, tonight here, as we open up the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, this chapter really tells me even more so how the church today needs to know about what's coming. Because when you look in the book of Revelation and you look at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, but really all of the 7 years, you do not want your worst enemy on the earth. And you don't have to be here. And I know people, get upset with us as we are very emphatic about a pre-tribulation rapture. Listen, we do not believe the church is going through a quarter, a half, or all of the tribulation, because the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches clearly, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, that God has not appointed his children for wrath. The 7 years, all of it, the tribulation, 84 months, is the wrath of God. That is clearly taught as we're going through these chapters in Revelation. Secondly, Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36, he said that we are to watch and pray that we would be counted worthy, catch this, to escape all these things. What things? All the things that he mentioned in the prior verses. And stand before the Son of God. Kirk, there is no doubt the Bible teaches that the church is going to be removed. Every born-again true believer in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, if you believe that, you've received him. He is going to come and appear in the sky, and he's going to call his body home, his church home. Kirk, we emphasize this all the time, but there are a lot of false teaching out there that talks about the church going through the tribulation. It's just not biblical.
Well, and really, all you need to do for anybody who's questioning this idea or saying that the church has to go through, all you need to do is establish the fact, and it is a fact, that the 7-year tribulation period is specifically the wrath of God. Okay, it's God pouring out his wrath on a world who's rejected his son and on Israel to bring them to a place of repentance. We're not living in a period right now where the wrath of God is being poured out in judgment, okay? So when we can establish that fact, all you have to do is look at Romans 5:9 and 1 Thessalonians 5:9, where it clearly tells us that God has not appointed us to wrath, right? So we're not going to be here at all. And there's a countless amount of verses all through the New Testament, even the Old Testament. We covered it here in Revelations chapter 3, when you get to the end of the seven churches. And then chapter 4 starts with, after this, John gets caught up to heaven, right? So that's the start. So no, there is no anywhere in Scripture that would insinuate that the church or the believer in Christ has to go through the wrath of God. It's just not there. It doesn't work. And I always say this, the true doctrine and the truth is always attacked the most. And the rapture doctrine is attacked the most. So is the pre-tribulation stance on the rapture. It's just, it couldn't be any more obvious when you see it in Scripture. I mean, in all there's so much typology. I mean, we could do a whole broadcast on Old Testament typology of a pre-tribulation rapture.
Well, and I think we have done many broadcasts on this, and you can go back on the JR app. If you don't have our app, just go to the app store, type in Joshua Revolution. You can download it for free and get all of our previous broadcasts, probably for a year or more. And on that JR app is just so much information. Kirk, our radio broadcasts and our podcasts have gone worldwide, seven continents. You heard just a few minutes ago, Pastor Paul Musisi, when we took this message to Africa, the 10 nations that were there, all, I mean, these were pastors, over 1,000 pastors. They responded in brokenness, in joy. And as I picked up Pastor Paul today, to take him to dinner, I was asking him about what are they hearing in Africa? What are they, these countries hearing? And he said, the prosperity gospel. They know very little about the end times message. And when we brought this message, which we're trying to bring to you each and every week, these pastors came to the altar. They were broken. They were touched. And they are now preaching this in their churches. And we are going back to Africa in November, Lord willing, December, to bring more of Bible prophecy to them. But make no mistake, our message is the next prophetic event on God's timetable is the rapture of the church. And we're going to bring this out at the conference. I personally believe, after many, many hours of study, that the rapture of the church will happen on a feast day, a Jewish feast day, and the one that I believe will be that one will be the Feast of Trumpets. That's what is said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. It speaks about the trump of God, the last trump. And the Feast of Trumpets is the blowing of the trumpets. And it's coming up this year, September 22nd, when the sun goes down, we are in trumpets. We are on Rosh Hashanah for 2 days, September 23rd and 24th. That is a high alert day in our church. Now, he could come at any time, but let me say this, based on much study, I believe it is very probable, and I don't know the year, so don't start saying, oh, Pastor Troy is saying he's coming this year. I hope he does. I'm praying he does, but I don't know. But I do believe whatever year it is, the Feast of Trumpets is a high probability feast for the coming of Jesus Christ for the bridegroom. And what we're trying to bring to you on radio is what's going to happen after the church is taken. And this is for your family. This is for you. This is for all the churches, the pastors especially, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And Kirk, when I read and study the book of Revelation, the fear of the Lord comes on me. Mm-hmm. Not for myself or my family. I know we're saved. I know when the trumpet sounds, we're going. But for those who are taking God for granted, who don't know Jesus, who are following another way, this is going to be the most traumatic time to ever be on the earth. But just think of this. Every generation has been one heartbeat away from judgment. So you should be ready, no matter if you're the last generation or you're the first generation, because you're only one heartbeat away from meeting God.
Well, and I could say, you know, my friend Adam, the one who presented the gospel to me for the very first time, he got saved reading the book of Revelation. You know, just jumped out off the page at him, and, you know, it's a reality check, you know, because it's awful. It's terrible. And nobody really preaches it anymore. There's still a remnant, thank God. But, you know, we're labeled as hellfire and brimstone preachers because we preach the judgment. We preach what's coming. And it's just, it's ignored today. I mean, there some of the Bible councils who are in charge of the Bible translations and, you know, modern versions coming out. I mean, the committee they put together for the NIV, they have said that they're going to try and put out a new edition of the NIV that completely omits and removes the entire book of Revelation because they just don't find it necessary. Now, tell me that's not the enemy, Satan, trying to, you know, keep it a hush-hush, you know. But it's crazy that there are still believers and pastors and churches who completely ignore the book of Revelation. It's just, some say it's symbolic. I mean, there's even sects of the church that say all of Revelation happened already in 70 AD. They think it all happened at the fall of Jerusalem when Titus came in with Rome and destroyed the temple and burned the city to the ground, and the Jews were scattered then across the nations. I mean, Revelation wasn't even written until 96 AD. So how can that even be possible? It's just, it's crazy what's out there today.
What is that called? Preterism?
Preterism. Yeah, preterists. Yeah.
It's confusing. Confusion is what it is. Listen, we're going to be studying at our conference the seven dispensations of God. You're going to learn so much there. We really encourage you to come because there's just so much nonsense, really, false teaching. I want to, you mentioned Romans 5:9. I want to read this for our listeners. It says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. So to say that the church that has believed in the blood of Jesus, that are truly born again, are going to go through the tribulation, contradicts this verse, because we are not then saved from the wrath through him. Because the difference between, Kirk, the time we live in right now, because we all go through tribulation, but the great tribulation, the 7-year tribulation, is the wrath of God. That is clear as you study the book of Revelation. And I want us to read tonight these first two verses here in Revelation 11. If you have a Bible and you're at home, we are at the midpoint of the tribulation. 7-year, 84 months, 242-month periods. But the last 3.5 years of the tribulation is called the Great Tribulation. And it's made up of 42 months or 1,260 days. In Revelation 11, we are at that midpoint. If you're just listening to The Last Trump, get our JR app, go back and listen to Revelations chapter 1 through 10, and you will hear about the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments. But we are going to come up to now the seven bowl judgments, which are going to be the worst time of the 7 years. and we're going to be studying those. But I want to look at these first two verses. Kirk, if you could read for our listener, Revelation 11, 1 and 2.
Sure. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them who worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months.
All right, now, in these first two verses, we are seeing that there is a literal temple that is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. From the time that the Jews came back into the land, which was on May the 14th, 1948, this has been their number one objectives, at least the rabbis, to build the temple and to reinstate the sacrificial system. Because you see, if they have no sacrifice of lambs, of bulls and goats, then they're not following the Levitical order. So for a very committed Jew, this is vitally important. And Kirk, we see here in the middle of the tribulation, and no doubt this temple has been built earlier than this, but it is now we clearly see it in the seven-year tribulation that the Jews have a temple in Jerusalem.
Well, and this is their number one objective right now in today's world, is getting this third temple built. And, I mean, we could get into it here briefly on what's happening, but we've covered it last year. They had the perfect red heifers, right? They need to have a spotless, no blemish on a red heifer so that they can sacrifice it to cleanse the temple. So before they can build it, they have to sacrifice. It's in, I think, Numbers 19.
And just to let everyone know that the ashes of that red heifer, and a red heifer is very rare, and it also has to be without blemish, a male heifer. Right. It is to consecrate the temple. So first, you need a temple, but you also need a red heifer to make it holy according to the Levitical and the law of God.
Yeah, and as of last year, they got them. There was a farmer in Texas. He gave them close to 10. A few of them, they failed the inspections, but they have still right now to this day, at least three, I believe I read, that are ready, and they're at the time where they need to be sacrificed, and they're just waiting for the go-ahead, really. And they have an altar built already that they could move into place on the Temple Mount within 45 minutes. They could be ready to go to start doing sacrifices. And as I'm seeing now here, and what I'm reading online and stuff Benjamin Netanyahu is saying, they are planning, the Temple Institute confirms this, that they are planning to start building their third temple this year by December. That's very, very soon. I mean, we could see this thing even go up before the rapture happens. But this is what's on the minds of the Israelis right now. I mean, the IDF soldiers are wearing third temple patches on their uniforms. They're raising flags all across Jerusalem with a third temple on it. They are ready to go. They have all of the instruments and all the stuff that is to go inside the temple, like the table of showbread, you know, all that stuff is done and ready and made. And it's on display right now inside the Temple Institute. And when that temple starts to be built, they're going to move it all into the temple and ready to go. All they need right now is the permission. And well, that's what they're waiting for.
And this is the holdup. And what is the problem? On Mount Moriah, you have the Alaska Mosque, and you have the Dome of the Rock. And these are two holy sites of the Muslim world. And they believe in the Dome of the Rock is the very place where God, you know, the prophet, I'll say it in a moment, Abraham was taken up to God, which is, there's no Bible for this. But they believe that. And so if you put the temple over the Dome of the Rock, you first have to remove the Dome of the Rock, which would start a war over in Israel. But now, after some discovery, archaeological discovery, there is now rumor that where Solomon's temple once stood is adjacent to the Dome of the Rock. And there is actually, they believe now, room to build the third temple without upsetting the Dome of the Rock or the Alaska Mosque. So what that means is they could coexist on the same Temple Mount.
Right.
And when you read what you just read again, it gives some inference of that, because notice what it says in verse 2. When he told them to measure, the angel stood saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them who worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles." Kirk, that very well could be what it's speaking about. They're going to build the temple, but the area outside of the temple will be given over to the Gentiles, which are the non-Jews. Thus, the Dome of the Rock, and they could all worship on the same mount, just like that's in Dubai, where they have the temple, and these are the Catholic Church. And there's the Muslim, Muslim shrine there, a temple. And what's the third one? A Jewish.
Yeah, it's the Abrahamic covenant, or the Abrahamic family house.
In Dubai, right?
Yeah.
And that is kind of like your picture of what they want to build in Jerusalem. And this is starting to show a lot of progress. And there is even now permission up on Temple Mount, I've heard, for Jews that are praying, which was never allowed before. So, friend, listen, it's coming to pass before our eyes. But here's the thing. Until that temple is there, and until sacrifices of animals are being offered for sin, we are not in Daniel's 70th week. We are not in the Great Tribulation. But once that temple is there, and there is a sacrifice being made on that brazen altar, we are in the tribulation. That's when God's counting the time. So I believe, yeah, the temple could maybe be going up, but I believe the church will be gone before the sacrifices begin again. Now that can be debatable, but here's what we do know. In Daniel 9:27, when the Antichrist or the false prophet confirms the covenant for a week with the nation of Israel, the last 7 years begin. And Kirk, by all of this study and what's going on in Israel right now, we are right at the door of this.
Yeah, and what we don't know either is if the signing of that covenant includes the permission to build the temple. I mean, we don't know when the temple's built. It could be before, during, you know, after the rapture. We just don't know. We might see it, we might not. But I think this is probably the most logical explanation here, that they would build it side by side. That's why they've gotten permission now to go up onto the Temple Mount, because they've, through that archaeological discovery, they've realized that the Alaska Mosque isn't sitting on top of the place where the holies of, or the,
where the
Holy of Holies
temples was. Right? Yeah.
So it seems as though that might be granted to them. And I know that's not the ideal situation that the Jews want, because they want the Alaska Mosque out of there and they want to take the whole Temple Mount and build their temple there. So they're saying, and I don't believe this will happen, but Israel believes that God is going to intervene and cause an earthquake that would cause the Alaska Mosque to come down, you know, by natural means, they say, you know, through intervention of God. And it's, as we all know, it's not the will of the Lord for that temple to be built or for Israel to go back into the sacrificial system. So I don't really see that happening unless they can find a way to manufacture an earthquake. But
well, let me say this, and Pastor Paul, the temple being built is the number one sign that we're in the tribulation. So everyone at home, when you hear about plans to rebuild the temple, when you hear that they have the red heifer, when you hear all the priestly garments have been made, all the furnishings for the temple, the seven candlestick holder, the table of showbread, the laver, the brazen altar, all of this is ready to go. That should alert you. Yeah. We're getting very close to the tribulation. And that means how much closer is the rapture of the church?
It's now.
Yeah.
It's now, you know. I was reading about the efforts to rebuild the temple are for real.
Right.
Yeah, and the main Jewish group, there's a main Jewish group leading the charge to rebuild the temple. It's an organization called the Faithful of the Temple Mount, who said they will continue their efforts to reestablish the Jewish temple on the mount. And one of the leader groups said, "We shall continue our struggle until the Israel flag is flying from the Dome of the Rock in Israel." You know, even students, this is going on.
Yeah.
And people don't know. It will be like the Bible says, he will come back like a thief in the night when everybody doesn't know. You know, especially in Africa. That's why we need you there. There's a lot of prosperity gospel in Africa.
Praise God. And listen, folks, for you to know, this third temple, there are evangelical Christians that are trying to help Israel build this third temple. You don't want any part of that. The Antichrist is going to invade this temple, and he's going to use it as his headquarters for the last 3.5 years. Kirk, we're almost out of time, but let's read verses 3-5.
"And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in his manner be killed."
And these two witnesses, number one, we know the first one is Elijah, because the Bible tells us in Malachi that Elijah is coming back. He was taken up in a chariot of fire. He is going to be one of the two witnesses. And the second witness, I believe it'll be Moses. Some believe it'll be Enoch. But these are going to be two prophets from the Old Testament that are going to be preaching the cross, preaching the tribulation, preaching the repent and turn to Yeshua HaMashiach on the streets of Jerusalem. And Kirk, the Antichrist and the devil himself will not be able to kill these two witnesses until their ministry, which will be for 3.5 years, 42 months, the second part of the tribulation, until it's completed.
Yeah, I believe it'll be Elijah and Moses also, because Elijah represented the prophets and Moses represented the law. And those were the two things that people had back then to know the Lord. So this is an amazing time that people are going to be witnessing who are still here. I mean, two of the Bible greats are coming back, and they're going to be preaching the gospel. And I mean, it's the message of the cross. They're going to be preaching repentance, right? And that's symbolic of what they're wearing, clothed in sackcloth. That represents the witnessing of including the preaching of repentance.
Amen. And we're just getting started. Next week, I don't know where the hour went, but next week we're going to give you more from Revelation chapter 11, the new temple, but with the two witnesses and how the Antichrist is going to come and invade that temple. You don't want to miss the next broadcast. And listen, we love you. God bless you. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Crossside and Crossside Tonight with Paul Musisi. You don't want to miss that. Stay tuned.
You have been listening to The Last Trump, a radio talk show sponsored by Joshua Revolution. If The Last Trump has been a blessing to you, please let us know by sending a testimony on how the program has helped you. If you would like to support The Last Trump financially, you can send financial gifts to Joshua Revolution, P.O. Box 923, Grand Island, New York, 14072, or go to our website at joshuarevolution.org. We thank you for your help and prayers, and remember to tune in next week at 8:30 p.m. for The Last Trump, a study on end times prophecy.